You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. So wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I...
Good Monday morning to you.
Cause all I wanted to do is be the Bruce Lee of Bruce Lee of Bruce Inc. Use it as a tool when I Bruce Lee. Woo! Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get was bittersweet. It's like winning, excuse me. I'm lying cause I think I'm getting so huge. I need a strength, I'm beginning to lose sleep.
Tell you what we're going to do today. Some days this song's not as ironic as others. Today it's not so ironic. The, I want to talk about, obviously, what happened in Texas. And we'll talk about a little about the Bergdahl verdict. The president is in Japan right now, so it would be only fitting that we hear Grant Newsham. Yeah. So we will go ahead and do that, and we'll talk to Grant here and get his thoughts on what's changing in terms of Japan's response to North Korea, China's response to North Korea, South Korea's response to North Korea, and our response to North Korea. So the president continues his trip to Asia, almost 2 weeks worth of it. So it'll be a pretty interesting little event that he has going. And if it runs true to form relative to the president, it will have in it economic development announcements, companies coming back to the United States. He loves doing that. And so we'll track that with interest. That's a big deal. As he attempts to level the playing field between the United States and other nations around the world in terms of trade. So we will, we'll do that today and talk to Grant, and then the governor will join us. So very good Monday morning to you. That's what we have going today. I'm trying to be disciplined this morning. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Good morning.
We have fought in every my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
Cloudy in 64 in Quantico, which means it's pretty pretty nice there. Cloudy in 66 at Camp Lejeune. Cloudy in 63 in Granbury, Texas. Snowing in 12 degrees up in Montana. 29 Palms, mostly sunny in 55. Pendleton, cloudy in 52. Okinawa continues its cooling trend. Cloudy, dark in 75. Raqqa, cloudy, dark 69. Marsha even cooled off. Clear, dark in 72. The home of All Marine Radio in beautiful Southern California. Clouds and 58 degrees. Looking for a high of 69. Here on a Monday. So don't touch that dial. We'll, got a few comments to make about Bo Bergdahl and his sentencing and the Uniform Code of Military Justice and its ultimate purpose and what I don't understand and what I think should happen. And then the events in Wilson County, Texas. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. BattleMug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsouthfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. After 7 on a Monday, the 6th day of November. Good morning to you. So I have Sergeant Bergdahl rolling around in my head all weekend as I keep seeing pictures of him. And here's what I don't understand. What I don't understand is Uniform Code of Military Justice, it's not like the civilian justice system, right? We all know that. Okay, we know it has tool purposes. Tool. That was a combination of dual and two. Anyway, it has two purposes. One is to adjudicate cases and to provide justice in the context of the United States military. Two is to maintain good order and discipline in the United States military. So things that might happen in a civilian court and might be appropriate in civilian life might not be in the United States military. For instance, you might be held more to a higher... You might be held to a higher standard in the United States military. Why? Because what you do simply isn't important to you. It's important to how we accomplish missions. So I guess what I don't understand about the Bergdahl ruling, that he get no jail time, not 2 years, not a year, not any of it. And I'll tell you one other thing that bothers me. How about no explanation on top of it? If there was ever a verdict that could probably use footnotes associated with it, I think it's that verdict. So the Associated Press, and I think did a good job with it. They wrote, there's an article that the AP wrote, somebody wrote for the AP, obviously, about the rationale, the probable rationale behind the Bergdahl decision. I don't, why am I getting out my Ouija board to understand this? Well, he doesn't have to justify his ruling. I don't give a shit. He should justify his ruling so it can make sense to the rest of us who watched. Because in a culture where what you feel matters in your, matters more than your responsibilities, I don't know that he helped reinforce the concepts that the Uniform Code of Military Justice is supposed to validate and be a constant enforcer of. Those would be personal responsibility, unit responsibility. And your conduct as a member of the United States military. Not your conduct as a as an individual, your conduct as a member of the United States military. So I read the Associated Press article, and it talked about his confinement and his beating and things like that. Got it. Look, and I know that I'm going to sound like a callous prick here, but he brought that on himself. He brought that on himself. I'm going to play for you here in a minute or so. Audio from a couple of guys who were on Fox talking about it. And so, one of them is a former Ranger, went looking for Bergdahl. Another one is an intel guy, Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel guys. Okay, but so what I don't understand is there's a good order and discipline component that looks like it got thrown out the window with Bo Bergdahl. You had the wife, the spouse of a soldier who went looking for him, got shot through the head. He'll never be the same. A SEAL that was medically retired testified that he was out there looking for him. And so it is unfortunate, the nature of his incarceration. But the signal you sent to me, the signal that got sent to the United States military was, we'll be sympathetic to your plight. Whatever you feel, your feelings are important. Which to me is the exact wrong message to send. Your feelings don't matter. Our mission matters. Our role relative to the nation matters. That's what matters. Your issues, your personal shit, right? That will come secondary. We will certainly factor that in. But the whole thing matters more than you. You know, that used to be, if you want to know one of the major things that has changed in the nation, how does that make you feel? What? What does that have to do with anything? Oh, no. Well, how does that? That is a question that gets asked ad nauseum in our country today. Well, how did that make you feel? What is this, a therapy session or some crap? I'm a grown-up. How did it make me feel? That's all secondary to my responsibility to other people. But not anymore. How you feel, that's really important now. That trumps all else. How you feel. And so to me, how Bo Bergdahl felt mattered in this court. And then this whole thing of that guy, someone needs to sit down with him. The Secretary of Defense needs to sit down with him and say, hey, you need to footnote this son of a bitch. So the rest of us can explain it and understand it, because we don't. So, yeah, you know, He walked off his, he essentially deserted, walked off his post. We're kind of sugarcoating what he did, okay? Misconduct in the face of the enemy. I was going to walk to another firm base because I thought the leadership issues were so screwed up. Right. So anyway, I'm going to play this little tidbit from Fox News. I wrote the names down. One's colonel is named Schaefer. The other one, I can't remember. But here you have it. Here's them talking about it.
Here now with more, Lieutenant Colonel Colonel Tony Schaefer, a CIA-trained intel operative who was involved in the classified military talks on the Bergdahl recovery mission, and Lieutenant Colonel Michael Waltz, a former Green Beret commander who led search missions with his men for Bergdahl. He is also a Fox News contributor. Gentlemen, welcome. Obviously, you are two of the best people.
Waltz, you've seen on Fox on a regular basis.
To talk to on this night, and I know that you're very disappointed with the outcome here. Colonel Waltz, let me start with you on this. Tell everyone your reaction and also what you and your men did to find him.
Hey, Martha, you know, as a soldier, as a veteran, today I'm devastated. I'm devastated for my men who were actively baited into ambushes, searching for Bergdahl. The Taliban were feeding us false information and baiting us into places that we shouldn't have gone and missions that weren't properly vetted. I'm devastated for the SEAL who underwent 18 surgeries. I'm devastated for the Army sergeant who was shot in the head on a mission looking for Bergdahl and cannot speak and cannot walk anymore. So he's not walking free. None of these people, they all received a life sentence. And for Bergdahl to receive nothing, I find just an absolute travesty. I expected a reduction, possibly, in his sentence for how he was treated under the Taliban, which he brought under himself. But now to find out that not only is he walking free, he's appealing his dishonorable discharge and seeking what? An honorable discharge? And I would expect maybe a book deal and a movie deal after that. I just find absolutely devastating. And finally, Martha, you know, he is affecting these wheels that he set in motion in this trade that Obama approved is affecting American hostages all over the world as we speak, because all of those terrorist groups holding Americans hostage today expect a trade like what Bergdahl got. So it's just devastating all around.
Amazing. It's just shocking when you look at it and you hear your story, Michael Waltz, Colonel Waltz. And Tony, you were also involved in the activity surrounding this recovery mission as well. Your thoughts on how this ended?
Well, look, as Michael pointed out, there was an extraordinary effort made once he abandoned his post to get in there. I was involved in a number of aspects of this relating to just getting him back in some form. A lot of us felt in many ways he should probably just perish on the battlefield where he went because he put himself there. As Michael said, look, this is setting all sorts of bad precedents, and most particularly, you know, this allows for essentially the idea that a soldier who gets fed up and tired can get up and leave his post and walk away and expect a sentence less than someone who sells drugs out of the barracks. Martha, I know people who went to Leavenworth for selling drugs out.
Think about that. That you could somehow desert in the face of the enemy and you can expect leniency. How bullshit is that?
Of the barracks who have longer sentences than this man who deserted his post. And to Michael's point, the Article 99 charge was partially based on the fact that there was some level of cooperation with Bergdahl after he went to the Taliban, who they allowed for him to help the Taliban set up ambushes of Waltz's folks. That's
okay. That is probably the most explosive thing they say in all of this, and that there is an element in this investigation that maintains that Bergdahl cooperated to some extent, thus not only deserting, but then subsequently giving information that would bait other army units into ambushes. Pretty amazing.
How bad this is.
Colonel Waltz, talk to us about the military proceeding, you know, and the way that this was arrived at and the judge who made this decision.
Well, I think, you know, obviously the defense made their case for how he was treated, which I will point out is according to Bergdahl himself. I don't know that we have independent corroboration of how he was treated by the Taliban. And there is a whole body of thinking that he collaborated
right.
with the Taliban.
Precisely.
So, you know, I think they made their case. His defense attorneys blamed the Army, that he should have never been let in the Army in the first place. But, you know, to Tony's point, an apology, some sympathy, perhaps, a missed psychological exam does not absolve him of accountability. This is not the Army's fault. This is about...
But the verdicts, that's what the verdict says. He is absolved for accountability, or at least it's a wash. We don't require any more of his ass than has already been taken. You know, everything that happened to him happened at his own hand.
Personal responsibility on Bergdahl's fault, and for him being held accountable for what he did. I will say, though, that there is a four-star general, Robert Abrams, that is overseeing the court. He does have the final say. This is the same general who rejected pleas under the Obama administration that he not go to court-martial at all. So there is some hope. But, you know, Martha, we've come from served with honor and distinction to this close to having justice after 8 years. And I just can't think of another word but devastating.
Right.
Here now with
the yes, but we all know when you review court-martials, you, as a convening officer, you can lessen the verdict. You cannot increase the verdict. So we'll film at 11. But it's just astounding to me that, you know, again, it seems like, you know, your feelings, what you thought matters more than the unit mission. And it's incredible to me that now in a huge trial, what every shitbird in the military sees is, hey, Bergdahl got away with it. He thought it was screwed up, so he just quit. He got away with it. Why wouldn't I? Play the victim card? And it's good. So I just think it's a pathetic. And so to me, I think that the minimum that's owed people who serve, and especially commanders who all over the United States military who look at this, and think, how do I make sense of this? How in God's name do I make sense of this whole Bergdahl pile of shit? And so, anyway, so we have that going for us on this Monday. The minimum that's owed is that colonel who rendered that decision needs to go ahead and explain to the rest of us what he did. And why it makes absolute sense in terms of the Uniform Code of Military Justice so the rest of us can understand it. Because we don't understand it right now. We don't understand it right now. And what it looks like is this guy deserted in the face of the enemy, and that his feelings matter more than his mission and more than the impact of his decision on his unit, on guys who went to rescue him. It's just pathetic. So anyway, but again, it's a continued slide trend in our culture that what you feel is more important than your obligation to, you know, to life, your obligation to your family. What you feel trumps all of that. Feel free to do whatever you want because, you know, you felt shitty about something. I don't know. I didn't grow up in that world. What was drilled into me as a young kid was your responsibility. Your responsibility for your own behavior. Your responsibility to other people. Your responsibility to your family. Yeah. I got it. You didn't feel good about it, but so what? that's the world that I grew up in. And now it's, I don't like it, therefore I quit. Before we talk about Texas, a quick aside. I read all of the investigations that were put out by the USS, by the United States Navy as part of the McCain and as part of the investigation into the USS Fitzgerald collision and the USS McCain. I would tell you that you should read them. It would probably take you a grand total of about an hour. It's about 70 pages. You can skip all of the narrative about, you know, the damage control and whatnot, right? You read the preamble, and then, you know, the situation that night and the things that unfolded, as both ships were operating. And then you skip over a huge part of it is the damage control fight. And then you get to towards the end and it talks about command and control and things like that. I would tell you to read it. And it's absolutely, it will make your stomach turn. The level of professionalism, the level of just straight up seamanship is disgusting. I'll give you two things. With the Fitzgerald, you have an incompetent officer of the deck steering the ship, controlling the ship through a pretty heavily trafficked sea lane. On six different occasions within the preceding hour of the collision, the standing orders of the 7th Fleet are whenever a ship comes within 3 nautical miles of your ship at night or during the day, the commanding officer is supposed to be notified. At sea, he'd be in his in-port cabin, which would be just off the bridge. He would be woken up and say, "Sir, you know, XYZ vessel is 2.7 nautical miles off the, you know, port bow." Got it. Thank you. If he chooses to get up, then he gets up. Six times. He was notified once. They passed within 650 feet of one ship that night. So what you read about the level of professional competence on the Fitzgerald is disgusting. At no time did they attempt to contact the other ships in the area for bridge to bridge. They didn't sound the collision alarm, and they didn't sound general quarters. It's absolutely stunning when you read it. If you look at the McCain, The McCain is people that are not qualified to be doing the jobs that they're doing. The CO doesn't, and I think the CO and the navigator, if I'm not mistaken, they don't attend the brief that discusses the transition, the ship transiting the Singapore Straits en route to Singapore where they were headed. He didn't attend. The CO decides to augment the navigation watch later than normal, and the OPSO and the executive officer both go on record with the CO saying, "You ought to post it earlier." He says no. Now you augment those watches. You augment those watches when you're in heavily trafficked areas. He decided not to do it. In the minutes preceding the collision, essentially what happens is they have problems steering on the bridge. And instead of the two propellers being driven synchronized, they're being driven separately. One of the helmsmen, as they transfer this control of the steering from forward to aft, and this happens 5 different times in the few minutes preceding the collision, they don't realize that in terms of propulsion, they slowed down the left rudder, but the right rudder is not synced to it. Nobody notices it. And the ship begins to turn to the left in front of the tanker. The steering of the ship, as I said, transferred five times between forward and aft because of a steering issue. The captain's on the bridge the whole time. That's the level of seamanship competency. Again, with the I think it's the Allnick MC, no bridge-to-bridge communication, no general quarters alarm, no collision alarm sounding. So, anyway. But I would recommend, if you go to the Allmarine Radio website, the link's posted on November 1st. And if you click on that link, it will take you, I just did it, it will take you right to the PDF file. You don't have to go through seven different websites. If I was you, just go ahead and print it out and, you know, grab a couple pens or something and sit down with it, and it'll take you the better part of an hour as you go through it. It is absolutely an eye opener. The other interesting point, and I'll go through them in a little bit more detail, maybe tomorrow, maybe Wednesday. But I believe it was the McCain that had a near miss of 650 feet in the previous May. No investigation conducted into it. No remediation done because of it. It was all good. So honestly, I mean, you look at it and you think, holy shit. Holy shit. Is that the level of competency in the seagoing Navy these days? And evidently it is. And again, the things I always think about when these things happen is this is what you know, right? This is what you know. Imagine the things that you don't know that have gone on out there, the near misses, the stuff that's gone unreported and things like that. Scary. Scary. All right, I want to talk about things in Texas. First thing I will tell you is this. If you have not already read it, in addition to the investigations, read the there's a something I posted on October 5th called an opinion piece that ran in the Washington Post. It called "I Used to Think Gun Control Was the Answer. My Research Told Me Otherwise." If you follow that link to the website 538, spell it out, go ahead and read the articles associated, and it explains murder in the United States, how the numbers break down, what it is, okay? And so when we all watch what happened yesterday, okay, let me read for you. First of all, the guy's a criminal. He's a piece of shit. Okay, now, those of you who believe that we should, how he feels is important and not what he does is important, then he has some kind of mental health issue, right? He's fucked in the head. Okay, so in many states, a dishonorable discharge is deemed the equivalent of a felony conviction with the attendant loss of civil rights. Additionally, U.S. federal law prohibits possession of firearms by those who have been dishonorably discharged per the Gun Control Act of 1968. So whatever this jackass acquired, he acquired illegally. So I'm not here to have the gun control fight, but he's a criminal, period. I guess there's hard questions that ought to be asked to people who knew him when they saw him with this kind of weaponry. Did somebody in his family know? So, if you go through the readings on 538 relative to murder in the United States, in particular gun deaths, homicides, the way it breaks down is this: 33,000 gun deaths in the United States a year. 22,000 of those are suicides. Okay? Read mental health. Okay, the next largest segment, the next segment is 11,000. 7,000 of those are homicides. The vast majority of those are males between the ages of 15 and 34 involved in the gang drug trade or gang violence. Okay, that is the vast majority of those 7,000. 2,000 of those are domestic violence. And then you have miscellaneous. Under miscellaneous are these kind of mass shootings. At the root of these mass shootings are mental health. The most insightful thing of everything I saw that got said yesterday was, until we have a database that flags people with certain mental health diagnoses on certain medications, we can't get our hands around people like this. Now, this guy, I mean, it doesn't matter with him, because any gun shop in the country that he walks into where he gives his ID, he's not to be sold a firearm. Now, does that mean he can't get them from private dealers and things like that, or private sales? He absolutely can. See something for sale on Craigslist, something for sale on the internet. Right? Go ahead and buy it. But to me, the thing that has to happen, but it won't, because you'll see this incredible pushback, because your privacy is important. And the HIPAA laws around the country are extremely important. So nobody's going to give up your medical information, Even if others are at risk. But that needs to happen. Certain diagnoses, certain medications are red flags relative to suicide first. That's the first reason you do it, to preserve their life. Second, there is a small chance that rather than taking his own life, he will kill other people. So to me, his family needs to be notified and said, hey, look, given this diagnosis and these medications, he now fits in a profile of people that are likely to take their own life. If he has guns, you should take them and lock them up. And if we're not willing to do that as a country, if we won't go there, then it matters not the rest of the gun control nonsense here. There is no argument. There is no argument. So, I mean, your heart just, where do people like this come from? Where do they go? What happens to them? I don't rightly know, and I don't know that I really care about him. What I want to do is I want to see something done to prevents crazy people from going unflagged. So that the family of this crazy idiot says, well, we didn't know. The mother of that Sandy Hook maniac should have been contacted and said, hey, the diagnosis of your son, do you have firearms in the house? Yes. You need to lock those up. Because he is, A, now in a category that he will take his own life, and B, also in a category that he can take other people's life. So, but again, this thing that we have going in our country where, oh, we can't do that, that would infringe on his rights. Same thing with Bo Bergdahl. Oh, well, what he did, he endured enough. So life has changed for us here in the United States, and it's changed incredibly. And that is what's most important now is what you feel. How did that make you feel? That's more important than your responsibilities. And that is not the way I got raised. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I got to lecture. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you feel. Look at what you did. Look at how it impacted them. That was the most important thing that I got raised on. But it ain't that way anymore. And the world's worse for it. Because you have all these people rolling around like, oh, this is how it affects me. It affected me this way so I couldn't do my job. Doesn't work that way in the military. Shut up. I don't care how it makes you feel. Do your job. Oh, really like that? Yeah, I really like that. All right, there's a whole bunch of other news. In addition to the president being in Asia, probably the biggest events of the weekend, again, other than what happened in Texas, was some stuff that happened in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia reportedly shot down a missile that was headed for its airport that came out of Yemen. And the Saudis also, in separate news, arrested, I want to say, 11 princes under the charge of corruption, things you don't see very often in Saudi Arabia. And then news from early this morning that the Saudis have shut down Yemeni airspace, their port, and also ground transportation routes into and out of Yemen. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll talk about that maybe as well. Let me review some headlines because Grant Newsham's going to join us. We're going to talk about the president in Japan. Green Beret killed in Afghanistan. He was a communicator with 2nd Battalion 10th Special Forces Group out of Fort Carson, Colorado. Keep his family in your thoughts and prayers. The president, these are headlines in Marine Corps Times. President says U.S. will arm Japan to knock down Korean missiles. An audit of Wounded Warrior Project, or at least a survey, shows some improvements for injured veterans in terms of the way they're treated. Wounded Warrior very much in the news over the course of the last couple of years in terms of all right, so those are a few headlines. Let me just go through the early bird real quick, and then we'll get Grant Newsham on, and we'll talk to Grant. He's got an interesting little article about things that the president inherited in relative to Asia. Early bird top five headlines. Mueller has enough evidence to bring charges in the Flynn investigation. I don't think that surprises anybody. What are the charges going to be? Didn't register as an agent, you know, shit like that. Flynn's biggest charge is that his son's an idiot. Another story in the Washington Post, Saudi Arabia detains princes, ministers, and billionaire investor in an extraordinary purge. Interesting stuff going on in Saudi Arabia. They seemed, then the Washington Post story starts like this, they seemed untouchable, the head of a huge construction conglomerate, a prince who led Saudi Arabia's elite National Guard, a billionaire investor who was one of the richest people in the world. But in a breathtaking stroke, the men were detained by Saudi authorities in a purge that began Saturday night, swept up some of the most powerful and recognizable names in the country, including members of the Saudi royal family, cabinet ministers, titans of media and industry, and former officials. The detainees included Prince Awad bin Talal, a wealthy investor who owns major stakes in such companies as Twitter and Citigroup. On Sunday, Saudi officials cast the arrest as the first shot in a battle against the country's notorious and deeply rooted corruption, and as part of a broader effort by the country's young and ambitious crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, to refresh the stagnating Saudi state. So pretty interesting stuff going on in Saudi Arabia. The third story in the early bird is that the shooter was identified as a former United States Air Force airman, joined the Air Force in 2010, served as a logistics readiness at Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico. He was confined for 12 months and reduced to the rank of E1 and given a bad conduct discharge in 2014. Those charges stem from assaulting his wife and their child. Number four, Saudi forces intercept a ballistic missile fired at Riyadh by Yemeni Houthi rebels. So pretty interesting little twist. The Houthi rebels claim to have fired the missile in response to Saudi and American aggression. The incident came hours before a suicide attack in the southern Yemeni city of Aden killed at least 5 soldiers. Saudi Arabia's civil authorities said flights were unaffected at the King Khalid International Airport, located about 35 kilometers or 22 miles outside of the capital. The Saudi Air Defense Forces on Saturday evening intercepted a ballistic missile fired from Yemen towards the kingdom's international airport near the capital, Riyadh state media reported. The missile was shot down and scattered debris over an uninhabited area without causing damage or casualties. So that's certainly an escalation relative to the Saudis. All right, that's a quick look at news. When we come back, the president already in Japan, we will talk to our guy who makes us smart about these kind of things, Grant Newsham, coming up next. As a Monday gets going here on the All Warrior Radio Network.